Just because God's doing a work in your life, and just because your life is changing, and just because your marriage is coming together, and just because you're not drinking anymore, doesn't mean that everybody around you is going to be happy for you.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm in the studio with senior pastor and author, Pastor Mark Job. Pastor Mark, this brand new series, Empowered, that you're coming to us with today is so relevant, so real, so ready to encourage our hearts. Tell us a little bit about it. You've called this first message the splash effect, about how when God gets a hold of your life, it doesn't just stay with you.
Yeah, a lot of us don't understand how empowered we are, but not just empowered to feel powerful or to experience tingles up and down our spine. We're empowered to fulfill a mission. And so we're going to be looking at verses in the book of Acts. I believe that you have greater power to fulfill the mission on your life than what you think. And so I think that we should all be splashing, Joshua. I don't know if you've ever been beside a pool and some really rowdy, wound up, a nine-year-old is jumping in the pool. You're trying to just sit there and read a book, and they're splashing on you.
Yeah, I tell you what, I give three kids a bath every night, my kids, and they're constantly just, their experience is splashing over to my experience.
Exactly. When someone is having fun, when someone's in the water, they splash on other people. I think it's the same in the gospel. If you have a real faith in Jesus, and you're excited about it, and you're having fun, other people around you should be getting wet with the splash effect of the gospel. So we're going to talk about what it means to let other people experience that splash.
That's great. This is Acts chapter 4 in the Empowered series, and this message is titled The Splash Effect. Here's the first half.
So this past week, I had gotten up early in the morning, and I was going to study. By the way, if you're ever in my office here at the church, you'll notice that I do not have a desk in my office. Some people come in and say, "Where's your desk?" That's because I don't study here in my office because there's so much commotion, too many people, always something going on. And so I find quiet places to hide. So if you ever see me with in a corner of a Starbucks, you'll know I find that. You could say hi, but don't talk to me long because I'm studying, okay? Just messing with you. And so I had gone to a Starbucks, and I know this crowd is divided between the Starbucks crowd and the Dunkin' Donuts crowd. Yeah. So if you're a Dunkin' Donuts crowd, just yell it out. If we got a Starbucks crowd, come on, yell it out. All right, I think we got more Dunkin' Donuts than Starbucks in this crowd, but okay, all right. So I happened to be at a Starbucks. I like my coffee strong, and I had just gotten a full cup of coffee to the brim. Prepared it with a little cream and 1.5 Splenda, just the way that I like it. Actually, it was Stevia, just the way that I like it. And I had sat down at my table and gotten my computer out, put it out, gotten my study stuff ready to dig into the word for this message. And I sit down and the table's wobbly. Like, come on. I just plugged in my computer and the top of the table seemed like it was like coming off. So I looked around and said, someone needs to like screw this table on tighter. So I started to spin the table around to screw it on a little tighter. And as I moved it, my cup of coffee moved towards me like this on the table and then went plop. It was hot. All over me. All over my pants. All over the table, all over the floor, all over the seat. I mean, this was a grande cup of coffee all over everything. And so I stood up rapidly. My leg was burning me, and I splashed all over. People are kind of looking over there, and I made a mess of things. I splashed all over. I went up to the lady and said, "Sorry, you know, I just made a mess of things, and don't worry, sir." So then I was walking around. I felt like, you know, people that hadn't seen me spill it were walking and say, "Hey, that guy's got a big stain on his pants." It's like, you know, I went to the bathroom and missed or something. That was kind of a little bit embarrassing. So then I went to the bathroom, tried to dry off a little bit. There's a hand. There's one of those, you know, the blower machines there. And so then I'm trying to put my leg up by the blower machine. And it was just a mess. But I realized as I sat down to work on the message and I stayed there, I realized That's exactly what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the splash effect. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the splash effect. See, I am convinced that God has not called you or I to just live our lives without impacting other people. In fact, I believe that God has called you to have a splash effect on the world that's around you. I believe that God has called you uniquely so that you would influence people around you, so that you would splash on them, so that your life would actually splash on other people the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the good news of God. Some of you are living lives that you're barely influencing anybody around you. You haven't learned the power of the splash effect. Some of you are here and you have a whole bunch of people here as well that have come to Jesus because when you came to Christ, you started splashing and they got wet with the splash effect and then they got other people wet and you've influenced a whole bunch of people because you realize God has called me not just for me, but to influence other people. So I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 4 as I talk to you about the splash effect. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 22 of Acts chapter 4 in the series called Empowered. Now, I have to give you a little bit of a background before I read these verses, just so you can stay up with the context. Jesus had lived on this earth for 33 years. He was crucified. He rose again. His disciples saw him. He was on earth for about 40 days. Hundreds of people saw him, over 400 people. And then Jesus gathered his disciples together, and the Bible says he ascended into heaven as they sat there gasping, looking. And Jesus said, the way I left, I will come again. But before he left, he said, I leave, but I leave you with a mission. And my mission is that you would go into all nations and that you would make followers. Jesus called them disciples of all nations. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. And so he left, and there was a church of about 120 people gathered together. The Messiah had left, but Jesus said, wait, because I'm going to give you a power to accomplish your mission. They were in an upper room, and as they prayed, there was a roaring sound like that of a hurricane. It shocked them. They didn't know what was going on. And suddenly around 120 people, there came something that had never happened like this in the history of humanity. It was the birth of the church. Scholars believe this is what the day the church was born. The Bible says that all 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God came upon them. And suddenly they received a boldness and a power that they had never had before. They were filled with the Spirit. On that one day, because of their bold witness and because they began to preach the language in languages that they had never learned, but preach the gospel, on that day, 3,000 people heard their message and said, I want to be baptized today and give my life to Christ. So on the first day of the church, 3,000 people marched down to the river and were baptized in the name of Jesus. Talk about some splashing. I remember one time years ago in Curie High School, we set up a little baptistry and we were talking about this and we had 35 people get baptized on one Sunday. Now, we had never done baptisms on the stage of Curie High School, and so I was still doing all the baptisms myself. And so I remember I was just baptizing people one after another, and there were some pretty big people and they really splashed and they were coming in and out, and we splashed so much that I remember I was soaking wet by the time I was done baptizing people. And not only was I soaking wet, but to the dismay of the building engineer, the entire stage of Curie High School was flooded with water because we were splashing. That was 35 people. I was tired and wet. Imagine 3,000 people baptized in one day. That was the birth of the church with a splash. And then they went out and decided, okay, God, you've given us power to begin to share the good news with other people. And you'll read in Acts chapter 3 that Peter was on his way. Peter and John were on their way they were on their way walking, and a lame man was there asking for money. And they said, could you give us, the lame man looked at them, could you give us something? And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come on, get up and walk. The Bible says that this man got up and walked. People were amazed because he'd been lame for many, many years. Suddenly people started saying, what happened? Who did this? In what power was this done? Because they started to splash. They started to get some opposition. So I want to talk to you about that. And so I pick up in chapter 4, right after they have healed the lame man. And now they're suffering some of the effects of this. But I want you to notice they were baptized and they were filled with the Spirit. They were baptized and they were filled. They splashed when they got baptized, and spiritually they splashed when they were filled with the Spirit and it overflowed. I believe that God has called this church, every single one of us that are followers of Jesus, to be baptized and to overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit. You should be splashing. So let me talk to you about this, what it means to splash. Get ready to splash a little bit. I believe that we're called to be overflow people. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, overflow people will disturb the hard, but enlighten the seekers. So after they had healed this lame man, they caused a commotion. And not everybody likes when God does good things. Some people are happy and some people are disturbed by it. The Bible says that the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed. Hold on a second. I thought they had just healed a man that was lame for many years, and yet the religious people were greatly disturbed. Just because God's doing a work in your life, and just because your life is changing, and just because your marriage is coming together, and just because you stop partying, and just because you're not drinking anymore, and just because you're forgiven, and just because your life is turned around, doesn't mean that everybody around you is going to be happy for you.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Splash Effect, which is from our new series called Empowered, Spirit-Filled Witness. After this broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called The Splash Effect.
How many of you thought when you came to Christ, your friends and family would be super excited, and you discovered that they weren't as excited as you thought they would be? How many of you can relate? Just wave at me a little bit. And so the Bible says that the Sadducees, who were the leaders of the temple, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Verse 4, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Here's what I want you to see. Take note. When you come to Christ and start splashing, when your life, when your faith splashes out of your personal life and into your job and into your family and into your friendship circle, some of you are closet Christians. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, you're still in the closet. What'd you do this weekend? Just get together a bunch of people around music. Really? How many people? Just a couple thousand people, you know, music and kind of lights and like a little DJ kind of thing going on. Really? But they don't know you're a Christian. You hit it really quietly. You're a closet Christian. before you pray over your meal at lunch, you drop your napkin. Lord, I just breathe up. Thank you for this. Thank you. God bless you. Or you do the headache. Someone says, do you have a headache? No. Mm-mm. Your closet. No one knows you're a believer. No one knows you're a Christian. And maybe you haven't had the boldness yet to come out. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. They're going to make fun of me. Oh, I understand. Oh, you don't understand. They're not going to really understand what I'm into. They're going to start thinking I'm a holy Joe, a Bible freak, a religious nut. I don't want to be associated with that. I know you're a closet Christian, but the day will come. Listen to me. The day will come when you need to come out of the closet. The day will come when you need to, wear your Jesus t-shirt. The day will come when you need to be bold about who you are and who God has called you to be. The day will come where you cannot be ashamed of the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and where you are associated with Him. You say, well, Pastor, some people will be disturbed. Exactly. Because when you start splashing, will be disturbed and others will be enlightened. The Bible says that the Sadducees were ticked. Can I tell you something? Everybody's preaching something. People don't get disturbed because you believe in Jesus. Because everybody's preaching something. You go to work on Monday morning, some people are preaching the party scene. Oh, guess what I just did this weekend? You should have seen the hottie that I was with. Man, we had a time. And they're preaching their party scene. They're preaching what they did this weekend. They're preaching party and hedonism. Someone else is preaching politics, and all they want to talk about is politics, and they're on this side or that side, and they rant and rave about it, and they're preaching something. They have an agenda. Everybody's preaching something. And here's the thing. It's not that you believe in Jesus that bothers people. It's that when what you preach becomes personally offensive to people, that's when they react. Can I tell you something? The message of Jesus the Christ is a great message of good news and love, but it's got offensive components to it. You cannot be a follower of Jesus without offending some people. You cannot preach the message of Jesus. Well, everybody says, God is love, and He is. He's a great God that loves people, and we all like that message. But guess what? Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's an exclusive way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, then people get offended that Jesus claims to be the only way to God. That offends people. Jesus said that the gospel's a stumbling block to some. And so I want you just to be ready. If you come out of the closet and you start splashing Jesus on people, if you start splashing your testimony, that some people will get disturbed and some people will come to God. Notice the Sadducees got disturbed. Why were they offended? Well, the Sadducees did not believe. They were political, although they were religious. They were more political than they were religious. And the Sadducees were the people that actually controlled the temple in those days. They were wealthy aristocrats that were political more than religious, but they were also religious, and they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And when the apostles were preaching that Jesus rose from the dead, it offended their theology. They had a fight with the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees did not. And so it offended what they believed. And so they came against Peter and John, and it disturbed them. And so they seized Peter and John, and they put them in jail to see what they were going to do with them. What had Peter and John done? They had just healed a man that was lame. Do you realize that sometimes when you start splashing, you could be persecuted even for acts of kindness? They had healed a lame man. Everybody had seen it. And now they're in jail for an act of kindness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You say, well, Pastor, my friends may persecute me. Hello? That's your right. That's your inheritance. That's part of your destiny. You're a follower of Jesus. Do you remember how accepting people were of Jesus? One day they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the next day they said, crucify him. If you're going to follow Jesus, you may lose some popularity contest. If you're going to follow Jesus, some people will turn against you. If you're going to follow Jesus, some people will call you bigoted, religious, narrow-minded, more holy than others. You will experience people that will be disturbed by your Christianity. And if that bothers you, then you're going to have a tough time following Jesus. Because inherent in being a follower of Jesus is that we run the risk of offending people and disturbing people. However, you will never win people to Jesus. You'll never have a splash effect unless you're willing to disturb some people in your life as well. Come on, I'm talking to someone here today. First Peter says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. I want you to know that although they ended up in prison, look at what it says in verse 4. It says in verse 4, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to 5,000. Can I rant a little bit here? There are churches in this country that have a cross on their steeple, but have decided that they will try to water down the gospel so much so that it's not offensive to anybody. And years ago, they started watering down the gospel. They started taking the hard parts out of Scripture. They started looking at what culture believed more than what Scripture taught. They started being politically correct. They started trying to embrace pluralism and relativism, and they watered down the gospel so no, the gospel was not offensive anymore. The gospel was lumped in with a bunch of ways to God, and they sound something like this. Well, all faiths are really the same. As long as you're good and you believe, we're all in the same camp. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or Buddha or Hindu or Allah or, you know, self-help theology. We're all children of God and all on the same page. And we're not supposed to judge anybody. And, you know, we all have our faults and we're all accepted and we're all good. And we say, yeah, we like that. Go right now to those churches and you'll find that most of them are empty and closing down. Because they've watered the power out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've watered the gospel out of the message of the cross. The message of the cross is offensive to some. The message of the cross calls people to repentance. The message of the cross is difficult. The message of the cross says, come and follow Jesus, but you have to die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. The message of the cross will disturb people and lead other people to Christ. I'm preaching to myself, but I'm getting excited about it here. Listen, the gospel is a stumbling block. I hope I offend you sometimes. Pastor, you offended me. Great. If I preach and never offend anybody, if I preach and never convict anybody, if I preach and never call someone to change, if I preach and you're never sweating a little bit, if I preach and no one ever feels like walking out, then I'm not doing my job, because the gospel of Jesus Christ will offend people at times. It is clear, concrete, powerful. Jesus offended many. They wanted to stone him and persecute him. He ended up being nailed on a cross because he preached a message of love for all people, but a message that called people to a very narrow path, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called The Splash Effect, which is from our series called Empowered, Spirit-Filled Witness. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of Pastor Mark, and if you would like a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find over 200 messages from Pastor Mark and a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. Before you go, we invite you to visit us at our Midway location where you can hear Pastor Mark in person. It's 5101 South Keeler in Chicago near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line at the Pulaski stop. Join us at 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. Thank you so much for listening, and on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the entire Straight Talk team, have a great evening. God bless.